and be looking at verses 1 through 3 this morning, 1 John chapter number 4, and looking at verses 1 through 3. Notice with me, in verse number 1 of 1 John chapter number 4, John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, says to these original recipients, of course preserved for us this morning, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." Of course, the subject of false teaching has been previously discussed several weeks ago, actually several months ago. We looked at 1 John chapter number 2 in verses 18 through 27. And as we looked at that passage of Scripture, in verse number 18 of 1 John 2, the Bible says, "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." And John would continue through the end of the chapter, really verse number 27, dealing with the subject of false teachers there in the second chapter. And then now again in the fourth chapter, the subject is brought up once again. Now we understand that our enemy is relentless. We understand that not only is he relentless, but we find that he's crafty, he's cunning, and we find that his attack upon truth, even as we studied last week, is continuing to march on, and he continues to undermine the truth of the Word of God. But I am thankful that as we go to the Word of God, that God regularly reminds us not only of the desire of the enemy, but he also reveals to us the tactics of the enemy, and then provides for us clear instruction on how we deal with and defeat the enemy. And we ought to rejoice in that this morning, because it's not that God just told us that they're false prophets and then false teachers and then go figure it out. We find that he's given us the truth that these false teachers exist. He's explained to us what their desire is and what their tactics are. And then he said, here's how you combat it. Here's how you deal with it. And here's how you defeat it. As we look at the passage of Scripture again, the revisiting of the subject matter of false teaching, I've titled the message from verse number 1, "Try the Spirits." And as we think about the passage of Scripture and the subject matter that is before us, let me say this. Hold your place in 1 John chapter 4. We're going to look at two verses of Scripture, because I want to acknowledge this morning at the very beginning of the message, what is it, this question to be answered, what is it that we're really seeking to avoid? Look in the book of Ephesians, if you will. In the book of Ephesians in the fourth chapter, what is it that we're seeking to avoid? Why does God continue to give us truth with regard to the false teachers that exist and their tactics and so on and so forth, their desires to overcome? And we find that God gives us in His Word what it is that we're trying to avoid. What are we seeking to avoid through these messages? Notice in Ephesians 4 and verse number 14, "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." That's what we're trying to avoid. We're trying to avoid this instability that you read of in verse number 14, where they're tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. And it says, "in cunning craftiness, they lie in wait to deceive." And when we deal with the subject matter of false teaching, when God exposes the false teachers, when He gives us instruction for how to identify and defeat false teaching, we find that what we're seeking to avoid is the pitfall that is spoken of here of this lack of stability. And what is it that we're trying to avoid? But then also, what is it that we're seeking to accomplish? Turn to the book of Colossians, if you will, just a few chapter or a few pages over in your Bible, Colossians chapter number 1. And I want you to see what it is that we're seeking to accomplish? What is it that we want to avoid? Is this lack of stability, this being tossed to and fro? What is it that we're seeking to accomplish? Well, in the book of Colossians in chapter number 1, in verse number 23, notice what the Bible says. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. You see a great contrast between Ephesians 4:14 and Colossians 1:23. You find that in Ephesians 4, he's saying, listen, we want to avoid this being tossed to and fro. We want to avoid this instability. We want to avoid all of this false teaching and being just going back and forth between what it is that we believe. And in Colossians, he says, we want to be grounded and settled and moved not away from the hope of the gospel. You see, that which we're seeking to avoid, but also what it is that we're seeking to accomplish. You know, God wants us to be grounded and settled. He wants us to know who He is, and He wants us to know what He has spoken. And we find that He's given us the Word of God, and we've been given precious instruction. We find that today, even as our passage would tell us of these false teachers that exist, and there are many false prophets that are gone out into the world, and we find that God gives us this instruction in 1 John chapter number 4. If you're taking notes this morning, I want you to notice, first of all, the exhortation to the believers. The exhortation to the believers. I believe this morning that as we look at verse number 1, there's really a twofold exhortation that is given to us. And this is advice or counsel that God is giving to the people of God, those that have been born again, those that are following the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that this exhortation is given. Notice in verse number 1, the first aspect of this exhortation, believe not every spirit. That's pretty simple, is it not? Believe not every spirit. We find that the second aspect of this exhortation that God is giving to the people of God and to us this morning is not only that we would believe not every spirit, but then notice what he says, try the spirits. Try the spirits. Now that word try is a very interesting word. It means to test, prove, or examine. The idea of the word try is to determine if something is genuine or authentic. That's the idea behind the Greek word that is used here that's translated in our Bibles, try. Try the spirits, that we're to test, prove, or examine them for the purpose of seeking to determine if something is genuine or authentic. And we find that God has given this exhortation. He's provided this counsel, this advice for the people of God. And we find that as He's provided this to us, our response to the exhortation ought to be that we take heed. John says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. We find that here this exhortation is given, and we are to try the spirits. The Word of God uses regularly, and in the era in which they would use this original language, we find that the word try would be used often with regard to metals. And they would try the metals. They would seek to determine if the metals were pure, if they were authentic, if they were genuine, or if someone was trying to sell you a counterfeit. That's how they would use the word. Very regularly in daily business and administration, they would use the same word in that manner. And we find that God is telling us as the people of God that we're to try the spirits. We want to be able to examine. We want to test and prove. We want to determine that they're genuine, that they're authentic. We ask ourselves this question, how is it that I try the spirits? What is it that I would do? How is it that I would be able to take heed to this instruction that has been given? And I find it's very interesting as you conclude the third chapter of 1 John, God gives us some great insight. Now you understand this morning that these chapter divisions and the verse references were added after the originals were given for ease of being able to find and follow and read. It'd be a challenging thing this morning if I said, just turn to the book of 1 John and find where I'm reading. And so we have these chapter divisions in these verses, but if you look in chapter number 3 and verse number 24, and we dealt with this a couple of weeks ago, it says, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him." Notice what he says, "And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." And we rejoice in the truth, the reality of his abiding presence. And we speak about the Holy Spirit of God that is mentioned in 1 John 3 and verse number 24. But when we understand the truth of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, yes, he's the comforter, but he's also the teacher. He is the divine teacher. And God, in his awesome plan, I mean, God is, he is supreme. He doesn't, is nothing that he's not thought of, right? He's God. And in his awesome plan, he determined for New Testament believers that at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit of God would indwell us. And as the Holy Spirit of God indwells every believer today, we find that, yes, he is the earnest of our inheritance. We find the proof, if you will, of our redemption is that the Holy Spirit of God indwells the believer. But we find that, yes, he's our comforter, and we rejoice in that comfort. We often wonder, as we would go through the trials and difficulties of life, how is it that someone that does not know the God of all comfort, someone that does not have the comforter that indwells them, how do they deal with some of the things of life? And we rejoice in having the comforter, but he's also the teacher, and he leads us into all truth, and we ought to rejoice in that. See, Jesus, as he's speaking to his disciples in the book of John before he would go to the cross of Calvary, we find that Jesus is giving them wonderful truth with regard to the things that would take place and the responsibilities that they would have with regard to ministry. And he's providing them with great instruction. And he tells them about sending the Holy Spirit of God, sending the Comforter. And he mentions that in a few passages in this section of the book of John. But in John chapter number 16, in verse number 7, he says this to the disciples, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." And then we find that if you skip down just a few verses, in verse number 13, it says, "Howbeit when he..." Now notice, it tells us that he's the Comforter in verse number 7, but another title that is given to the Holy Spirit is provided in verse number 13. "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." Now, those words should be precious to us as the children of God. He didn't say that he might guide you into some truth. He said that he will guide you into all truth. And we ought to rejoice in that. And as we look here at the passage of Scripture, he continues and says, "For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." And we rejoice this morning as we consider the subject from 1 John 4. How is it that I try the spirits? Well, it's the enabling of the Holy Spirit of God that indwells us, because he will guide us into all truth. Listen, we must take God at his word. We must believe that God has given us that which we need. And as we run to the truth of John 16, we ought to rejoice that, listen, God, you told us to not believe every spirit. You told us to try the spirits. And there's this situation here. There's something that I've been confronted with, and Holy Spirit of God, I need you to guide me into all truth. Help me to understand. Enable me. We find that not only has he given us the Holy Spirit of God and the enabling of the Holy Spirit to enable us to be able to try the spirits, but we also find that we're to examine by using the Scriptures. The Word of God says to try the spirits. Again, that word means to test, prove, or examine. It's seeking to determine whether something is genuine or authentic. And so what do I use? I use, not only do I have the Holy Spirit of God that indwells me, he enables me, but we also examine through using the Word of God. The Word of God is our standard. The Word of God is the truth. We dealt with that last week as we spoke about the truth shall make you free. And as we find this morning with here in 1 John chapter number 4, in this exhortation that is given, this counsel or advice that God is providing to his people, he says, "Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits." I need to examine the Scriptures. I need the help, the enabling of the Holy Spirit of God. But now, as New Testament believers, we have the whole canon of Scripture. He's given us the entirety of the Word. You understand, and many people get twisted up with this today, but you understand that the apostolic sign gifts, as we would refer to those as, that as you study the New Testament before the Scriptures were completed, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's very clear at the end of the text of Scripture, when that is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. And we find that these apostolic sign gifts that were given for the purpose of authenticating the message. We don't need the apostolic sign gifts anymore. Why? Because we have that which is perfect. We have the whole counsel, the whole canon of Scripture, and we are to examine the Word of God. So listen, this morning, the false teaching that is prevalent, we find that the exhortation is given to the people of God that we're to believe not every spirit, we're to try the spirits. Why is it that God would give us this exhortation? Well, it's because of, if you're taking notes this morning, the existence of false teachers. The existence of false teachers. I believe this morning that the existence of false teachers is what necessitates the exhortation that we find at the beginning of verse number 1 here in 1 John chapter number 4. And we find that as you read the end of the first verse, it says, it tells us why the exhortation is given, because of the existence of these false teachers. It says, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So God gives us the answer as to why the exhortation is needed, why it is that He's provided us with this exhortation is because of the existence of these false teachers. You understand this morning that the Scriptures say this in verse number 1, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. There's not just one false teacher. There are many false prophets. He tells them in verse number 3 at the end of the verse, it says this, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. Notice what it says, and even now already is it, the spirit of Antichrist, in the world. The book of 1 John was written near the end of the first century. And here we are in 2022, and we find that the false teachers have continued to multiply. There are many false teachers, many false prophets. As we begin to think about the existence of these false teachers, we made mention by way of introduction to 1 John 2 and verse number 18, and it's there where it says, even now are there many antichrists. And we find that this spirit of Antichrist that John mentions in 1 John chapter number 4, this existence of false teachers, that they are seeking to go and to permeate the world. Last week we mentioned in our study of the truth shall make you free, we said this, that there is a blinding from truth. You know one of the ways in which the enemy blinds people from truth? False teachers. You know the hardest truth to identify is the one that's close, or excuse me, the most difficult false teaching to identify is the one that's closest to the truth. They try to get it as close to the truth as they can, but there's just a couple of nuances. They mean something different by the words that they use. I've often said this over the years, that they, false teachers, they will use our vocabulary, but not our dictionary. What do I mean by that? Well, they might use some of the same words that we're familiar with, but they mean something entirely different. Have you been born again? Well, we understand what it means to be born again, and we would understand as we hear that terminology, perhaps this morning your mind would race to the book of John in the third chapter when Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, that man that was full of religion, by the way. And Jesus said to that religious leader, He said, ye must be born again. And Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter into his mother's womb a second time? He's confused. Jesus makes it very plain. There is a physical birth and there is a spiritual birth. And that being born again is the spiritual birth, the second birth. You talk to some today, you use that terminology, have you been born again? Oh yeah, I've been baptized. It's not what it means to be born again. I didn't ask if you were baptized. Oh yeah, I've said my first Holy Communion. I've done this, I've done that, some religious exercise. But that's not being born again. Being born again is understanding that we're dead in our sins and our trespasses. Understanding that we are guilty. Amen? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I'm guilty. And because of my guilt, because of my sin, I stand under judgment. He that believeth not is condemned already. We stand under the judgment. Why? Because our God is just and He's righteous. And sin must be judged. It must be dealt with. And the penalty for sin is death. But we recognize that God, the same God who is just and the same God who is righteous, He's gracious and He's merciful, and He paid the price for us. And He went to that cruel cross and He bled and died, and the just for the unjust, the truth of the vicarious substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ on that cross of Calvary. He shed His precious blood. He died. He was buried and He rose again. Why? To pay for the sin of mankind. We recognize that we're sinners and there's a penalty, but Jesus paid the price, and how we ought to rejoice in that. And then we read where the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul didn't tell them to get baptized. After they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then they were baptized. Believer's baptism by immersion. We find that this morning, they use our same vocabulary, but they use a different dictionary. The existence of false teachers. Listen, it's so prevalent in our society today. You must be careful of what you watch. You must be careful of what you listen to. Listen, you can type in, and in just a moment, you can go to YouTube, and you can find all sorts of things. You have a question about something biblically, and listen, the enemy is crafty, he's cunning, and there's all sorts of false teaching that is just all over the internet. These false teachers that are on TV, I'm not saying every preacher that's on TV is a false teacher, but what I'm saying is believe not every spirit. Try the spirits. That's the exhortation. Why? Why does God give us the exhortation? Because they exist. And there are many false prophets that have gone out into the world. The spirit of Antichrist, you heard that it shall come. It's already here. This was written many, many centuries ago. We find that the enemy uses the false teachers to blind men from the truth. Someone said this, that the author of much of the theology books that are written today, or many of the theology books that are written today, would be Satan himself. You say, what in the world is that? That's a shocking statement. No, because he wants to send forth that false teaching. You know, most false teachers, as you look at the truth of the Word of God, and this is where we get the exposure, if you're taking notes number three this morning, the exposure of false teachers. It's given to us here how we can identify, how we can expose the false teachers, because where they mess up is with Jesus. False teaching, the consistent point in which they fail and they miss is on the person of Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because it makes all the difference. Do you remember when Jesus said to the disciples, He's there and He's speaking to the disciples and He says, listen, whom do men say that I am? Peter's the one that stands up. And Peter very quickly, actually before Peter speaks up, the disciples, they kind of offer an answer, and there's many probably that speak up. And they say, well, some think that you're John the Baptist or Isaiah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Can I tell you this morning that the false teachers don't care if you think Jesus is a prophet. The false teachers, they don't care if you think that Jesus was a good man. Jesus said, who do they say that I am? Isaiah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets, John the Baptist. Then Jesus says, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter then stands up and says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah, the promised one. Paul would then later say to those that he's speaking to in the book of Acts how that this Jesus whom I preach is Christ. They knew who Jesus was as a person, but they say, he's letting them know that's Messiah. He is Christ. He is God in flesh. And we find this morning that many of the false teachers, these false religious systems, these false cults, they get it wrong on Jesus. They don't care if you think that Jesus was a good teacher. They don't care if you think that Jesus was a prophet, that he was... They care if you believe that Jesus is God. And this morning, when we look at the text of Scripture in 1 John chapter number 4, the exposure of false teachers is provided for us. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 2. Hereby know. Now remember, we looked at this word at the end of chapter number 3 in verse number 19. Hereby, it says, and hereby we know that we are of the truth. And we mentioned that this word hereby, it means by this. And we find here again that we see this word know. God wants us to know. He doesn't want us to be blinded. He doesn't want us to be confused. He wants us to know truth. He is truth. He's provided us with truth. And the Bible says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Here's the test that we're going to provide. Here's the examining, trying the spirits. He says, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. We think about the person of Jesus Christ and we understand this morning his incarnation, his deity, and his work of redemption. And that's where they get it wrong on the person of Jesus Christ, who he is and why he came, what he came to do, what he accomplished. Listen, it's Christ alone. It's not Christ plus our works. That's false teaching. It's not Christ plus Mary. That's false teaching. It's Christ alone. Amen? And we find here that he says this, that the Spirit of God, hereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Notice in verse number 3, he says, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Pretty plain, is it not? Now, the plainness of the teaching is evident through this passage. The difficulty for us on believe not every spirit and try the spirits is the craftiness of the enemy. That's where it becomes difficult. That's why we so desperately need to depend upon the Holy Spirit of God to enable us to understand this process of trying the spirits. That's why it's so imperative that we know the Word of God and we're able to run to the Scriptures. I've had conversations with people, countless conversations with people that have been blinded by false teaching, that have believed a lie, and they're so convinced of it because of what they experienced. And it's critical that we as the people of God, that we depend, we rely upon the Holy Spirit of God to guide us into all truth. And we go to the Word of God as the standard. Listen, your experience and my experience do not trump the Word of God. There are people today, it's actually extremely popular today when we look at some of the Pentecostal movement and some of that that we find that's so prevalent in our society today, where it's a lot about experience and about emotion. And here's what I've experienced. And by the way, if you talk to someone that's experienced some of those things, you're never going to convince them that they didn't experience what they experienced. I've tried. You'll drive yourself crazy. Why? Because they experienced it. Because they experienced it. Can I tell you this morning that when Cornelius received word from God, that vision, that didn't save him? You know what Cornelius was told? Send for Peter, and Peter will tell you. Man, that's power. You go to the Word of God. I've been to heaven, and I'm going to tell you what heaven's all about. We got people making movies and writing books and all sorts of things. And people, listen, God's people are buying that stuff and watching that stuff and reading that stuff But you know what Paul said after he was caught up to the third heaven? I'm not permitted to talk about it. So if Paul couldn't talk about it, you think some little kid is allowed to talk about it? I'm sorry, I don't buy it. God's given us in His Word what heaven's about, what He wants us to know heaven is about. And the things that He's not told us, obviously we don't need to know. Amen? And listen, this morning when we look at this exposure of false teachers, the instruction is simple. The outworking, the going through the process is what becomes difficult. Why? Because of the craftiness of the enemy. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 11. I want you to see the craftiness of the enemy as God would give us this truth in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. And I want you to understand that as the people of God, we must take heed to the Word of God. We must understand and take heed to this exhortation that starts the passage of Scripture in 1 John chapter number 4. Believe not every spirit, try the spirits. Why? Why this exhortation? Because of the existence, there are many false prophets that have gone out into the world. And how are these false prophets, these false teachers, how are they exposed? We must depend and rely upon the Holy Spirit of God to guide us into all truth. We must use the Word of God, examining the Scriptures, examining their teaching and their beliefs and their what they peddle according to the Word of God. Notice in 2 Corinthians 11, in verse number 13, the Bible says this, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." Notice verse 14, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." So what do we read in verse number 15? "Therefore, as we understand this truth, as we understand these false apostles, these deceitful workers, we understand that they've transformed themselves into the apostles of Christ. We understand this morning that Paul says to the believers in Corinth, listen, don't marvel at that, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if His ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." The craftiness and the deceitfulness. Listen, I don't know where it originated, but somebody has depicted that Satan runs around with a pitchfork and a pointy tail. You've seen it depicted that way. That's just not Bible. Listen, if he always appeared that way, it'd be easy to identify him, right? But he transforms himself into an angel of light. Oh, this is where it becomes absolutely necessary for us as the people of God to take heed to this exhortation in 1 John chapter number 4. Believe not every spirit. You know, any people see some crafty work of the enemy, some hocus pocus nonsense that goes on, and they say, "Well, they did this." I had somebody tell me 10 years ago, they said, "Well, Pastor, I just want you to know about this person." They said, they called me Pastor, they weren't a member of our church. They said, "Pastor, I just want you to know that this is what happened. What do you think about this person?" I said, "That's a false teacher." They named the person by name, and I said, "They're a false teacher." "Well, I just want you to know that there was some person there and it was a healing situation and they had a glass eye and that guy touched their forehead and they could see." I was like, "You believe that?" I mean, I wasn't trying to be unkind, but I was astounded at the fact that they believed that. But that's what they believed. You know that many of those healing situations that you read of, it's a bunch of nonsense. Just do a little research. It's nonsense. And by the way, if you look in the New Testament, anytime somebody was healed, it didn't profit the person that healed them. Amen? You look at the faith healers today, they're living in luxury. And if they really had the gift of healing, which they don't biblically, listen, our God still heals. But it doesn't use faith healers. Okay, we must understand that this morning. And if they really had the ability to heal, why don't they go and show up at some places where people are really sick? Why do they turn away the people that aren't going to participate and play their little game? And then they just put it on them. Well, you just don't have enough faith. Peter and Paul, you read in the book of Acts when they healed. You know what they, when they healed, you know why? Again, the sign gifts, it would authenticate their message. Do you remember, turn back if you will to the book of Acts and let's look at this passage quickly in closing this morning. I want you to look in Acts chapter 28. In Acts chapter number 28, they had just been shipwrecked. They end up on the island Melita. And the Bible tells us that the people there showed them kindness. But I want you to pick it up with me in verse number 3 that Paul is there. Of course, he was the one that in Acts 27, he told them not to go, and they went, and they had that terrible storm. They were shipwrecked. Paul stood up and said, I believe God, and all that transpired. They get there to Melita, and the Bible tells us that Paul, in verse number 3, gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire. Notice the end of verse number 3, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened onto his hand. That's a problem. That'd be a real problem for me. I'd just have a heart attack, amen? I'm just being honest with you. You say, Pastor, you have heart problems? Not that I know of, but if I had a viper on me, I'd have heart problems. And the Bible says this, notice in verse number 4, and when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. Paul's a murderer. That's their conclusion. But then Paul shakes it off. Can you imagine? It says this in verse number 5, he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come on him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In verse number 7, in the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Notice the Bible tells us that he healed him. There were others there in verse number 9, and you notice what's taking place. And I believe with all of my heart as you look at Acts 28, we don't have all the time to develop it this morning, but the reason that Paul was able to heal them and the reason that God allowed that was so that it would authenticate the message, that he would preach the gospel to these people in Melita and they would get saved. And you read this over and over in the book of Acts. Listen, these false teachers that we read of as Paul is exposing them in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, listen, they want to transform themselves into the ministers of Christ because, listen, it's no small thing. We should not marvel because Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And so we must take heed. We must acknowledge here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 that this takes place. I talked to a man probably 18 years ago, and he said, yeah, I know I'm saved. I said, how do you know you're saved? That's wonderful. Tell me how you got saved. He said, well, I got home, and I was having a really bad time. My wife and I were just dealing with almost getting divorced and all this sort of thing, and work was going bad and all these things, and I sat on the corner of my bed after a long day at work, and as I sat in the corner of my bed, Mary walked in. I thought Mary was his wife, honestly. It was like 18 years ago. I could almost take you to the door in Exton, Virginia, where I was when I knocked on the door of that person. And he said, Mary walked in. He was speaking of seeing some person, Mary, the mother of Jesus, is who he's speaking of. And he said, Mary lifted my hand and led me over to the window and told me to look out the window. In all sincerity, he said, come over here. He said, I looked out my window and I saw right there, and there was Jesus, and I know I'm saved. He believed that experience with all of his heart. He believed it. There was nothing I could say to that man on that day that would convince him that he did not experience what he experienced. But when we understand the whole of Scripture, we say, listen, no marvel, for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light. Listen, Satan will do anything that he is permitted to do, because he's not God. Satan will do anything he is permitted to do to blind people from the truth. And we find this exposure of false teachers. Listen this morning. It is so imperative for us this morning to take heed to the exhortation of 1 John 4 and verse number 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Don't see them do some hocus pocus and just, they must be. No. Believe not every spirit. Try the spirits. Examine them, test them, prove them for the purpose to determine whether they're genuine. And we find that as we would rely upon the Holy Spirit of God and how we should rejoice this morning and thank God this morning that He's given us the Holy Spirit who will lead us into all truth. He will lead you into all truth. And how we should thank God that He's given us a Bible, the whole canon of Scripture. And we examine Scripture with Scripture. And we say, God, thank You for telling us about the false teachers, but thank You for instructing us on how we're to deal with false teaching and how we can overcome, defeat false teaching. Listen, there are certain men crept unawares who turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. There are people, and I don't want to over-exaggerate. You can do some research and I can tell you some more things. But there are people that willingly take a position of church leadership to deceive. It happens. There are people that take oaths to do it. It's insane. But it's the work of the enemy. And so John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he says, Beloved, believe not every spirit. Try the spirits to see if they're of God. And he gives us some instruction. This morning, I hope that we take heed to the exhortation, because false teachers still exist. They're all over the place. But God's exposed them. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us. I thank You for the Word of God. I thank You for the Holy Spirit of God who indwells us, who is the Spirit of truth, who leads us, guides us into all truth. We acknowledge this morning the existence of false teachers. But God, we're thankful that You've given us this truth for how we can know their tactics, but also have victory and not be led astray. As we mentioned by way of introduction, what we're trying to avoid is that lack of stability, being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. We want to avoid that. We want to be, as Paul said to the believers in Colossians 1 and 23, we want to be grounded and settled, move not away from the truth of the gospel. And God, I pray that You'd help us. Help us to be careful with the things that we read. Help us to be careful with the things that we watch. Help us to be aware of the tactic, the craftiness of the enemy that lies in wait to deceive. I pray that You'd move and work in hearts as only You can this morning. Maybe this morning, all of us should come and thank You for Your truth and for the Holy Spirit of God. Perhaps this morning there's one that's been given ear to false teaching. They've been deceived. Oh God, I pray that You'd help them this morning. Help them to follow the exhortation that's given in this passage of Scripture. God, if there's one that's not saved this morning, they've believed a lie of the enemy with regard to what salvation really is. God, I pray that today'd be the day of their salvation. Would You move and work as only You can? We'll give You the honor and glory for all that You'll do in our midst, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Would You stand with me? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. At the end of each of our services, we have a time of invitation. Give You an opportunity to respond as the Holy Spirit of God has used the Word of God in your life this morning. Kimberly will play quietly on the piano, and the altar is open. If you're not sure of heaven, we'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven's your home. Maybe you just want to come and thank God. Maybe you just want to come this morning and ask God to protect you from false teaching that's so prevalent in our society today, and help you to follow the admonition that's been given, the exhortation. As Kimberly plays, the altar is open.